Thank you for tuning into Weight Loss Talk with Doc. This is your host, Dr. Sandeep Ramanujam, MD. My background is I am a medical doctor, board certified in obesity medicine, which is weight loss medicine, as well as board certified in family medicine. Since this is more of an introductory type of episode, I want to get into a little bit about my background first, and then we can talk a little bit about a couple of different topics. So I have been treating patients in family practice and weight loss for a few years now. Family practice about 10 years doing general family medicine, in addition to other general medicine, and more specifically weight loss over the last 7 years. I am the medical director of a medical weight loss clinic, Milwaukee Medical Weight Loss and MediSpa in Greenfield, Wisconsin, which is a suburb of Milwaukee. So I do do active work there in regards to our weight management programs and protocols, as well as patient care from time to time. So I'm still pretty actively involved with the weight loss space, specifically in medicine. Again, keep in mind this is different than your typical family practice, which involves more interventional type of things related to medication management of diabetes, blood pressure, cholesterol, et cetera, et cetera, cardiovascular disease, et cetera. My original background was working in family practice, and I did work at a National Health Service site for about 4 years, which tends to be more of an underserved area. What I did notice during my early years of practice was that pretty much most people that had most of these issues relating to diabetes and blood pressure and cardiovascular disease and other sequelae all kind of stemmed from the same root problem, which is issues with being overweight and in many cases obese, poor diet, poor nutrition, lack of exercise, and subsequent sequelae. So essentially it seems like in medicine what we are doing is backward in a sense, because all we're doing is putting band-aids without addressing the underlying issue, throwing more medication at a problem that in many cases we could probably avoid if we could just find ways for people to eat healthy, get some activity, and one way or another maintain their weight. Again, study after study shows that if the BMI or body mass index of a patient is less than 25, there are odds of more complications down the line related to health are less in the long run, meaning health complications such as diabetes, etc. These tend to go up almost in many cases directly proportional to increased weight gain, especially as you get above a BMI above 30, which would put you into the clinically obese category. And then as that BMI goes up and up, the odds of the more disease sequelae relating to that become higher and higher. So essentially, as I began to practice, I kind of noticed that this seemed to be a big problem. My interest kind of shifted more towards what can we do on the preventive side, which would seem like the smarter approach. If you can get people to eat healthy, form good habits, exercise, eat more of a whole food type of diet, avoid processed foods, etc., then they would probably avoid a lot of medication and a lot of long-term healthcare issues related to just staying healthy. The main thing to understand is that for most people, if the weight is simply maintained in a good capacity, meaning a good ratio of muscle to fat, that's usually a very good thing as far as the overall physiological profile, because the type of weight that you hold also can have a profound impact on your long-term health impact. So also one thing to understand is that we should also encourage people to not just lose weight, but also try to maintain their muscle mass, as this is very important for long-term metabolism and really helps tremendously in weight management. For this introductory episode, I want to just cover a few items related to what are some kind of common things that I see patients do wrong that come into my clinic. I'll just give you kind of my take on why that is or how to remedy that. So one common mistake that I see a lot of people that let's say they've been, let's throw out some numbers. They've been 30 pounds overweight for the last 5 years, and then they'll commonly say, well, yeah, I haven't been eating much. My appetite's completely down, and I skip breakfast, and all I do is I have maybe one or two larger meals, or even one large meal. So my overall calories are still actually pretty low, but I still don't get it. I still seem to creep up on weight all the time. So one common, and this is actually probably true, so I think it's a misconception to assume that everybody that has a weight issue overeats. I would say that's actually probably not always the case. In many cases, people are gaining weight by undereating, and let me explain why that is. So what happens is that most people, as they age, they tend to naturally lose a tiny bit more of their muscle mass if they have not kept up with weight training, or they have a physical job, or they're eating enough protein. Those can be common ways that one's muscle mass can go down with age. So it's a combination of inactivity, metabolic slowing with age, loss of muscle mass. So what happens is that when the body slows down, the metabolism slows down, the basal metabolic rate of the body slows down as well. So what that means is that, let's say somebody, when they're younger, could get by on 2,000 calories and maintain their weight. Now the body will slow itself down to 1,800 calories. So what happens is that even if you eat, let's say, 1,900 calories, and previously 2,000, you feel like you're eating less, but as far as the body is concerned, that extra 100 is extra and will store it as storage energy or fat. So what happens is that it's very commonly what you need to do in order to get results again as far as your weight loss is you have to eat more and you have to speed up the metabolism. So for most people, that's when they get stuck, that they're eating less, they feel like they're trying and they can't get results. That's probably a very common mistake that I see. And usually it takes a while to kind of figure out the right balance of calories, etc., proteins, etc., to see what's the best solution there. Most people, once they fully embrace this concept, tend to do better, and then their numbers start moving. So essentially it's a counterintuitive thing. So you essentially have to eat a little bit more, and eat properly, of course, with proper nutrition, and then really bump up the activity, especially on the weight training side, to retain muscle mass and reboot that metabolism and speed it up. And I think that's probably the most challenging part for most people, is to kind of, you have to really do both. There are no shortcuts, unfortunately, there. And you have to recognize that. You have to embrace that if you're serious about getting kind of long-term results. So for most people, that tends to be kind of something that, again, commonly comes up as a roadblock in their weight loss. The second thing I see is that that most people probably don't do enough is that they don't track their caloric intake nearly as often as they should. There are several apps now, and I think with technology now, even with wearable devices, etc., most people have several options of things they can do as far as tracking. You can use several apps these days. In our clinic, people use MyFitnessPal, which is, I think, a fairly decent app, as well as Lose It. And of course, there's wearable devices like Fitbit and your Apple Watch, etc., that all work fine and serve the purpose of tracking and accountability. What we find in our clinic is generally people that tend to come in more and weigh in and get their, you know, we tend to give people weekly printouts with their muscle mass ratios and fat ratios, you know, body water, etc., some more technical numbers. But the point of all of that is just to help people be accountable and tracking. So whether you're tracking yourself in a formal weight loss program or in a medical weight loss clinic, or at home on a scale, or simply by putting stuff in a app, etc., you have to track somewhere or be accountable in some way if you're serious about having some long-term sustainable results and building good habits. Most people, I would say, tend to not do this enough, and studies show that a vast majority of people tend to significantly underestimate their caloric intake, and then they overestimate their physical activity. So the combination of that is that there's a gap of hundreds of calories there, which they simply can't afford if they're serious about maintaining weight or losing weight and maintaining that weight loss over the long run. So tracking, I would say, is another common mistake that I see people do. The third thing that I also see quite frequently is that vast majority of people are eating way too much processed carbohydrates and processed foods in general. So the best way to explain this is that essentially any processed food, processed means what? The best way I can explain it is that anything that comes in a package or a box is processed, and generally you should eat much less of that, whether it's something that you pick up in a restaurant, a drive-through, a frozen food, etc. Generally those foods you should avoid. Vast majority of people's diet ideally should be more of a, I'd say 70-80% if possible, plant-based whole food diet, including plant-based proteins, and then the rest from sensible meats that are hopefully naturally sourced. You want to pick things that are the most unprocessed sourced of the plant or the animal, if that makes sense, and with the least alteration as a general concept. So for example, if you're eating a apple, that's very good carbs, but again, it's natural carbs, and it has a lot of different other benefits as far as vitamins and fiber and different things, and the core is full of probiotics, believe it or not. So good food, you know, and it will do the job for hunger, etc. And if you pair that with a protein, that's a great snack, meaning let's say an apple and a Greek yogurt, or an apple and one serving of almonds or something. That'd be a great snack. Apple juice, probably not so great, again, because essentially that's distilling out all the fiber, probiotics, all the good stuff, and you're essentially getting glorified sugar water. And on that bad spectrum, if you turn that into apple pie, fully processed, and you have extra fat, calorie dense, etc., processed carbs, on that spectrum, it's probably the poor choice. Obviously, I would never tell anybody not to eat anything, but, you know, limit the apple pie spectrum, choose much more from the apple spectrum, if that makes sense. The biggest other issue that I see most of people have is that protein, people vastly underestimate the amount of protein they're eating. So the general rule we follow here in our clinic is, at least for the first 6 months, most people that they're trying to lose weight or cut weight should at least do about 1.5 milligrams per kilogram of their body weight in protein. So, and a kilogram is 2.2 pounds, so you can do the calculation. But you would get that much protein throughout the day, divided up by 5 intakes or 6 intakes if possible. So essentially, if you're a 220-pound guy, you know, you would probably need to eat at least 150 grams of protein a day during the cutting phase, which is probably a lot for most people. And then you can kind of figure out the numbers. So basically 1.5 milligram per kilogram per day of body weight, divided up throughout the day, as many intakes as possible, ideally 5 to 6 intakes. We want breakfast protein, we want a snack, we want lunch, we want another snack, we want dinner, and maybe another tiny snack if possible. But the biggest advantage of this is that it maintains a high rate of metabolism, and getting consistent protein throughout the day will abate hunger, and also it helps in keeping your muscle mass intact, so they're not long gaps where there's no protein in the body. So that's the biggest reason we encourage that. And then after usually a 6-month period, then once people are in the maintenance phase of their kind of weight management, or they just want to maintain their weight, then they should bring their protein level down more to closer to 1 milligram per kilogram. And again, these protein numbers do apply to people with healthy kidneys. So as always, check with your doctor first if you have any questions in regards to general health. For people that have unhealthy kidneys, these numbers would need to be adjusted downward. They should seek a medical professional's advice first in regards to that dosing adjustment. But for healthy people, those doses would be fine. So for now, that will be our conclusion of our first introductory episode. We will try to cover more topics for you guys in the next week. And as always, stay healthy. I'm your host again, Dr. Sandeep Ramanujam, and we will talk to you guys next week.